Parsha Sav, the portion that Torah starts off speaking about the idea of karbanos, different types of offerings, and particularly the karban oila. It speaks about the karban oila, which is an oila offering, is an offering that's completely consumed. It's oila, it's elevated completely on the mizbeach, on the altar, and it's it represents, there's different types of offerings. There's offerings of karban. There's certain type of offerings that are brought for a certain sin, for a shoigig, for an unintentional sin. You bring a chatas, or for an intentional, you bring an asham. There's different types of offerings that are brought. But the karban oila is very unique. The oila is not brought for any sin. It's not a offering of atonement. So the Zohar, this week's parasha, in the beginning of Tzav, starts off speaking about the power of this offering. And on page 26b, the Zohar says like this. Rabbi Elazar sho'il Rabbi Shimon Avoy. Rabbi Elazar asking a question is to draw out a deeper understanding, a deeper awareness, a deeper light. Asks his father, Rabbi Shimon, V'omar, Ha kishur d'choyle iskasher b'kodesh gudoshim l'isnare stapka l'rava d'konel v'yisol eila ad heichen iyasalka. When the Zohar speaks about before, that through the carbon oil, through the offering of an oil offering, it's elevated to a higher state. And through the unity with through the Kayanim Levim Yisraelim, through the Kayan, who were the actual ones that brought the offering, the Levim that sang the songs, and Yisrael did the Maimon that brought the offerings, it elevates to this highest place, to the Leila, it elevates higher, like Oilat's elevation. Ad Hechan Iyusalka, to where does it reach? In other words, to what Madrega, to what state, to what spiritual state, transcendent state, does the oila reach? Omerle, so Rabbi Shimon answered, the father answered the son and said, Ha'akmino ad ein soif. We have established that it's elevated until the ein soif, until the infinite light, until the infinite. The chol kishura v'yichuda v'shlimu latzna bahut seniyah. That it elevates to a place that it's connected and it's unified and its fullness reaches a place that's called the hidden space. The lo yistavik v'lo yisyada, that is not understood and not known. It elevates to a place of the infinite one, a place that's beyond knowing. The raiva d'chol raivim bei, it's a place of the source of all desire. Because Ein Sof lekayim leida. Because the Ein Sof, the infinite one, is not, there's no possibility for to understand, to grasp. V'loy lemevet sof, v'loy lemevet roishta. And it doesn't have a beginning, it doesn't have an end. Which means it reaches a point, a place, where there is no duality or hierarchy. In a normative way, the way we think about the world, the way we think about life, in a very three-dimensional, four-dimensional reality, things belong either up or down, or right or left, or back or front. We function, our minds function, and apprehend the world through a type of duality. And in duality, there's always a higher and a lower, or a before and an after, or a here and a there. That's the way the mind grasps reality. So it says that with regards to the Ein Sof, the infinite one, the infinite light, there is no beginning and no end. There's no possibility of a beginning and an end. It just, there just is. There's no hierarchy and there's no duality. The Ayin Kadma the Apik Resh V'Sof. Because when Chachma emerges, the first wisdom, the first understanding, wisdom emerges in the spheres. That's when Kad Apik Resh V'Sof. That's when it starts the beginning. Resh is Chachma, that's the beginning. That's when it comes, that's when it's emerging, the first emergence of ideas, which is called also in the world of Keser, the world of the deepest hidden place, which is called Moichastima, which is in Gagalta. So the three levels in the Keser, which is the level of Moichastima, which is the hidden level of intelligence, which emerges Chacham Ayin to Matzah comes from that Ayin, which is the Chacham, the wisdom. Then there's a higher level, which is Galgalta, and the highest level is Reshit Lo Yisyada, the head that does not know. That's Lo Yisyada. The Kaima Gam Machshava, this is where the place where Machshava begins, where thought processes begin. Vavat Soif, the Kara Soif Dover. And therefore is also the possibility of a beginning, once an end. Once there's already a process of a beginning, that's already the possibility also for an end. So in the world of Ein Sof, the world of the infinite, where the place where the Oila reaches, the carbon oil offering of the Oila, the burnt offering, which is completely consumed on the Mizbeach, this offering reaches a place of Ein Sof, infinite, pure infinity, which is beyond any type of duality or hierarchy. Even higher than Moichas Demoi, higher than the level of Chacham, higher than the level, even the possibility of saying it's a beginning. Because if you say there's a beginning, that means that there's also an end. If there's a beginning, there's a start, there's also a finish. And if there's an up, there's also a down. In the Ein Sof, you can't even speak about a beginning and an end. You can't speak about an upper and a lower. But when you're talking about the Ein Sof itself, so there's no light, there's no revelation, it's pure infinite light. And that's the place where the carbon oila, the offering of the oila, the burnt offering reaches. So what does the Zohar say? A very simple, if not simple, but in a very simple way of reading the Zohar, the translation of the words is that there's a possibility through bringing a carbon oila, through bringing this type of offering, this burnt offering, which is through this we reach a place of the Ein Sof, the infinite light itself, which is beyond duality, beyond any separation, beyond any up and down. So what does this mean? So with regards to the carbon oila, Chazal say, our sages tell us, that the idea of the oila, the Gemara says, if there's a question, if you have to bring a chatas or an oila, what comes first? A chatas is a sin offering for an unintentional act. If you have to bring a chatas, which means you're over a loisa, say you transgressed a prohibition, so then you have to bring a chatas, a sin offering, for kapara, for the purposes of atonement. And if there's a chatas that a person has to bring, or an oila, so the Gemara says you first have to bring the chatas and then the oila. First you have to bring the sin offering, and then you have to bring the offering that's completely consumed. Why? So the Brisa says the reason is because it's similar to a person that did something to offend the king. So first you need to, so there's a certain type of a punishment or some type of disconnect that happens. So first you have to repair the damage that was done for kapara. That's the idea of the karma chata, that's the chassin offering. So first you're repairing the damage, and then comes the oila, which is for appeasement. So the purpose of the oila is after the kapara, after the atonement, after repairing of the relationship for a type of appeasement, so things should get back into the correct place. So it's not for atonement purposes, not for kapara, not if you did something wrong, if you were transgressed a certain thing and you want to, and you affected the king on high, Kafi Achol, you want to repair this relationship, so you have to bring the term of atonement to correct the relationship, to undo the oinish, so to speak, to undo the offense and undo the effects of the offense. But it's for the purpose of atonement, a purpose of appeasement. This is all the Rebbe explains also in Igaras Atshuva, the idea of the oila. This is one thing. Chazal also say that an oila, offering of an oila, is not brought for the transgressions, in general, for any transgressions. Besides, that's not brought for a transgression, but it's also not brought for transgressions of a loisese, a prohibition. But if a person didn't do a mitzvah essay, a person didn't do a positive command, which means a person didn't do the mitzvah that they were supposed to do, which is the mitzvah of the day, the person that has to do this mitzvah, and a person doesn't do it, then oil is mechaper, oil is for the purpose of an essay. So like the Ramban explains, in Vayikra, the Ramban explains that it's the idea of not to bring a kapara, because when a person does not do an essay, there is no punishment. There's no negative effects of that action, which means that a person does a loisese, transgresses a prohibition, then there's an immediate effect. Sometimes it can be malchus, sometimes it can be lashes, sometimes it can be even stronger things, but there's an immediate effect. For an essay, if a person doesn't do shavalasa, a person doesn't do the essay, there's no karis, there's no malchus, there's no punishment. Whatever the punishment is, or what the represents what the idea of punishment is. But there is none. Besides Mila, the Karban Pesach, but generally there isn't. So what's the concept? The concept is in Mitzvah's essay, you just didn't do something positive. I tell you you're not allowed to do something and you do it, so that's a transgression. That's like you went against my will. If I say I want you to do something and you don't do it because you were lazy or you didn't do it, you weren't really transgressing my will, but you didn't do my will. It's a little bit different. So there's no punishment, and this, let's transpose this to the idea between us and Hashem. When you don't do a loisus, when there's a permission to do a certain action and you do it, you're transgressing my will of Hashem, transgressing the will of Hashem. So therefore there needs to be kapara, there needs to be some type of atonement. There's an effect, there's an einish, there's a punishment, there's an objective correlative to the subjective action, and there's a certain effect, and you have to undo it. But if Hashem Kaviyachol says, I want you to do this positive thing for me, and you don't do it, you didn't negate Hashem's will, you just didn't fulfill it. So therefore there's no einish, there's no punishment, but you want to appease the relationship because it was some type of relationship was broken because you didn't do my will. So the oila, the offering of the oila repairs that. So you have these ideas. Another thing that the Gemara also says, that an oila is mechaper on machshava, that there is the world of action, which is, the Torah says you're not allowed to do this action, this negative action, whatever the action is, this negative thing. You transgress this action and you do it, then you have to bring a karma chatas or ashen. Or ashen tali if you don't know exactly what you did, etc. The different type of offerings you have to bring, which is a atonement, a kapara, a karma for atonement. Then there's a machshava on thoughts. So generally, machshava is ainu mitztaref lamaisa. Besides machshava v'gezara, but generally, machshava is not mitztaref lamaisa, which means machshava, a thought about something. A negative thing doesn't connect itself to an action. It's just in your thought. But an oila is mechaper. An oila brings some type of level of repair even to thoughts that a person has, negative, impure thoughts. So let's try to understand this in terms of what the Zohar is saying, because the Zohar is giving us a deeper understanding of what an oila is. Chazal are explaining us more the external, or the pshat level of what the understanding of the oila is, that it's for the purpose of appeasement, it's for the purpose of an essay, a positive mitzvah, and it's for the purpose of time to have appeasement for the machshav of a person, for a person's thoughts. Now the Zohar comes along and tells us that the oila, the offering of the oila, of this burnt offering, or the Holocaust offering, this offering that's completely consumed by fire, this offering represents a connection to the Ein Sof itself, to the infinite life itself, that is beyond the possibility of a beginning and an end, and an up and a down, and something even could be known. Because the idea of knowing something, when I say I know something, that means that I have some type of tfisa, some type of connection to it, and some type of grasp of that idea. To grasp something is not to grasp the everything. The moment I grasp something, whether it's in my hands or within my thought process, if I say I'm holding this, if I'm holding, let's say, a tool, and holding the yad, the handle of the tool, so I'm holding the handle, not holding the tool itself. So whatever I grasp in this world, if I'm grasping something, it's something that's separate from the everything. I can't grasp the everything. Same thing also within the world of thought. If I say that I'm grasping some type of understanding of the infinite, some type of understanding of the Creator's light, of Hashem's light, that in itself is a definition, and that in itself means it's a something separate from the everything. Ein Sof is the everything. It's infinite. It's truly infinity. So the moment I say that I'm grasping, that by definition means that I'm actually not connected to the infinite, because infinity cannot be grasped, because the moment it's grasped, it's finite, because it's a separation of the something from the everything. Now, what does this mean? It means like this. There is a relationship that is based on a paradigm of a type of duality. Which means like this. Let's say we'll think this between interpersonally, between two people. Let's say a person has a relationship with somebody because they like the way they think. They like the person's mind. So and they like the way the person thinks about life. and you're entering into a relationship based on a person's intelligence. Let's say a student and a teacher. So the relationship is based on an intellectual level. So the relationship is strong, and it could be a very deep relationship, but it's not a relationship based on an emotional connection, and it's not a relationship that's based on a physical connection. It's just because I like the person the way the person thinks, and I'm connected to that person on the level of intelligence. That's one type of relationship. Then you can have a relationship for a person's emotions. You like the way the person feels and the way the person is in this world, and they're a very kind person, a compassionate person, and therefore you like this person. Or you have physical attraction to the other person. So there's always types of relationships that are within the world of a duality. Within the world of duality means I'm only grasping a part of the self. I'm grasping your intelligence, which is possible to grasp. Therefore, I'm relating to you through a place of intelligence. I'm grasping your heart and your heart space, and therefore I'm connecting to you on an emotional place. I'm connecting to you on a physical place. There's all these things that are connected to specifics and detailed. This is one type of relationship. In our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the same way, Kavi Achel. Our relationship with Hashem could be in the same way, which is our relationship is that we are connected to we're learning Torah, so we're connected to like the divine intelligence. We're connected to the mitzvahs that bring a person to Avav, to Yir, to love, and to awe, both of Hashem, both of man, and of self. So we're connected in a very specific way. Sometimes this relationship is impaired because a person transgresses. Person does something that disconnects this type of relationship. So in order to repair this type of relationship, you need kapara. Kapara means an atonement. An atonement essentially saying that there's a possibility for a separation, and there's a possibility for to atone for the separation. There's a possibility for to break the relationship, and there's a possibility for the relationship to be repaired. That's the definition of an atonement, which means that only that reality of the possibility for atonement and the possibility for separation only works in a place of duality where there is some type of connection that lends itself to the possibility of unconnecting. Where is the relationship with us, Kavi Achol, with the Holy One, with Hashem, Kavi Achol? Where is this relationship possible? Only when the relationship is from a place of a duality. In a place of duality, I can either be connected or I can be separated. I'm connected when I'm doing a particular mitzvah, when I'm fulfilling the obligations, and I'm not transgressing the negative commands, and that way I'm having this relationship. If, God forbid, there is a damage in this relationship, so therefore I need kapara for the relationship. And kapara, I need atonement for a relationship, means that it's within a dualistic frame, which is because there's a possibility that I connect, the possibility that I disconnect. And therefore, when I disconnect, I want to now connect. That's one way of living. That's one way of being. Then the Zohar says that there's a carbon island. There's a higher level of offering. The higher level of offering connects us to the Ein Sof. When we say that we're connected to the Ein Sof, by definition, since it's Ein Sof, there is no possibility for us to be disconnected. Because the Ein Sof infuses and includes and embraces and is the context of everything. The infinite is the context of all existence. And in the place of the Ein Sof, in the place of infinity, pure Ein Sof, which is not known, which cannot be grasped, there is no possibility of anything outside of the Ein Sof. There's no possibility of something that's separate. So the whole world of breaking a relationship and repairing a relationship of kapara doesn't work in the place of the Ein Sof. In the place of the Ein Sof, we're always connected. There is no possibility of being unconnected. There's no duality. It's just like there's no duality, we cannot grasp it physically, and we cannot grasp it with our minds because we're only grasping something from the everything, but we're part of the everything. And in the place of the everything, there is everything, and therefore we're also us included at all times. So what is the oil bringing? What is the carbon oil? What is it drawing out? Or what is it revealing? The carbon oil is revealing our connection to the Ein Sof and connecting with the infinite light that is always there. And how do you do this? How do you do this? What does that mean? How do you do this? What is it? How do we do this practice? So if I offer a part of myself and say, I'm dedicating my mind to be connected to Hashem, I'm dedicating my heart to be connected to Hashem. I'm dedicating my actions to be connected to Hashem. That is, by definition, already a duality, already a separation, the world of pure, the world of separation, because I'm saying I'm dedicating my mind, oh, but not my heart, or I'm dedicating my heart, but not my mind, or I'm dedicating my actions, but not my heart and my mind, which means that's not the fullness of self, therefore it's not a connecting to the Ein Sof, to the Infinite One, which is the everything. The only way a person could be, can reveal his connection, her connection to the Ein Sof is through the Karban Olah, is through the offering of the entirety of self. If I connect myself consciously, if I choose to connect the fullness of myself completely to be Davak and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be connected to Hashem, which is a commitment, a Karban, which is I'm choosing to live my life in commitment and a dedication and in unity with Hashem, not a particular part of my life or a particular part of my day and a particular part of myself, but all my life, all my day, and all myself. If I choose that, which is a Karban Olah, which is a complete offering of self, so to speak, if I choose, and it's a choice, if I choose to consciously live this way in a way that I'm connecting my fullness of self, I'm choosing to be in connection, in dialogue, in oneness, in unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's choosing? All of me, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my experiences, my physical self, my emotional self, my mental self, the entirety of self is choosing to be in relationship, in connection to Ein Sof. Then it's revealed the connection that's already there always. So through bringing the Olah, you're revealing the connection of to the Ein Sof. And this is what Chazal are saying, really. What the sages are telling us is that it's mischaper on that the Olah brings a type of appeasement of a relationship, not the atonement of a relationship. The appeasement is to draw the original connection. You know, if you do something and you offend someone and the person repays you, sometimes relationship is physically okay, it works. You know, you took money from somebody, you know, and then the person repaid you and said, I'm sorry, I stole money from you, or I was dishonest, and he pays you back. But the relationship is gone because that original connection is lost, because now there's a loss of trust. What is the Olah? The Olah is saying is the appeasement. The appeasement means saying we were always connected. And what I want to reveal now is the connection that's always there. That's higher than Kapara. Kapara is in the world of duality. Kapara is in the place, atonement is in the place of duality, which is a possible of connection and a possible of disconnection. The Olah is not in a place of connection and disconnection. It's not mechaper. The Olah doesn't be mechaper. If anything, it's mechaper. It brings atonement for machshava. It brings atonement for thoughts. Because in the world of thought, we're saying thought is already a duality. It's a place of grasp. I want to go to a place that's beyond thought. If I have a negative thought, I want to say, but my connection with Hashem is my fullness of myself, which includes also my thoughts and my feelings and emotions, etc. And this is the connection. So the Karban Olah, what the Zohar is revealing to us, what the Karban Olah is, a certain type of posture. Today, Kol Oisa B'Torah Olah Kili Kavala Day, we don't have the possibility of actually physically bringing a Karban Olah, but we have the possibility of learning the Olah and understanding what is the Olah in our own life. How can we bring this Karban Olah? How can we bring this offering? How could we connect to a place that's beyond a duality? How can we connect to the Ein Sof itself? How can we connect not to expression of the Ein Sof, not a thought of the Ein Sof, not a refraction and a reflection of the infinite light, but how do we connect to the essence of the infinite light itself? The Ein Sof Atzmus Yisborach HaVayachol. How do we connect to that? It says the Zohar, through bringing an Olah. What does it mean to bring an Olah? To bring all of yourself into the equation. The moment you're not bringing all of yourself, you're not connecting to the Ein Sof. If you're not bringing everything of yourself, the fullness of self, because only the fullness of self, the totality of self, could connect to the totality of the Ein Sof. If you're not in total dialogue, in total commitment to the ultimate, then if there's something that's lacking, something that's missing in that relationship, then you're only going to be connected to a refraction of the Ein Sof, a reflection of the Ein Sof, which is in the world of duality, which is a place that can already be grasped. Because if you're not whole, then you're not connecting to the wholeness. Only when we truly commit ourselves fully, and this is a choice, This is a choice we have. We have every single morning, every single day, every single moment, actually, in a day, we have a possibility to choose to be fully connected. To say, I want to live my life in full connection with Hashem. Not only my thoughts should be connected, not only my actions should be connected, not only my feelings should be connected, not only one part of myself or one part of my day, I want my life to be lived in the presence, in Noichus Pnei Hashem, in the presence, living presence of the living God. And I want to live that in that way. And if I choose to live this way, I'm actually become the Karban Oyla. I actually become the Karban Oyla. I become the offering, the complete offering. And when I connect my fullness of self, I connect Kaviyachol to the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fullness of the Yitzhov, which is actually infinite. And what we're really doing is, by this posture of drawing closer, we're revealing that this connection was always there. That's the depth of this. That it's not only a relationship that's being forced. It's a relationship that's being shown to me through my actions that was always there and was always present, because I what I am connecting to and what I am in relationship with and what I am actually an expression of is the infinite light of Hashem. Shabbat, wonderful Shabbos.